Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what up, what's going on? It's Frequency, producer extraordinaire. You're checking out the mixtape with my man Six Sense and Mick Boogie. Let's go for it.
Yeah. It's your boy Six Sense. Let's go.
Yeah, you know what it is. From the moment you come over the bridge, and I'ma show you some shit. 8 million roaming the strip, and I hope you ain't alone in the crib. Yeah, you better believe that. It's where you can seize for the cheddar and cheese.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is New York HR, as our intro says. Nothing like New York. This is likely the last show for the summer 2019. Really excited. We pivoted the show. We're calling bullshit on a lot of things, and I feel like we're just getting in our stride. I feel like I'm a kid of the 90s. So, you know, I was born in the 70s, but, you know, Michael Jordan, I feel like I'm getting into my flow right now, which is awesome. But I'm excited, as I always am on these shows, to talk to folks that have contrarian viewpoints. The idea here, again, if you're a first-time listener, we're calling BS on some of the common practices we see in HR and recruiting. And so today's guest is Kevin Yip. Kevin is the co-founder and COO of Blueboard. Hey, Kevin, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, Anthony? Thanks for having me on the show. Super excited to be
here. Yeah, of course. We got like West Coast, East Coast thing going on. Again, if you're a little bit younger than me, but we had this whole hip hop war thing going on when I was in high school. So no, all peace and love today.
I know all about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I'm a Biggie guy, but that's for another show. So Kevin is here to call bullshit with us on recognition and rewards. And Kevin has a very interesting story, and I want you to elaborate. But what we're talking about today is, you know, there's this research that's happening. And in fact, you know, I work for a company called Suzy. We're in the consumer market, consumer research and consumer insights space. Our CEO, Matt Britton, and founder, talks a lot about this idea of experiences. He's a millennial expert. And what we've seen on the consumer side of the millennial explosion, so to speak, is this idea of experiences. This, you know, they don't want to own anything. They want to experience things, and whether that's perpetuated through Instagram and other things. And like always, the enterprise, the HR space is kind of lagging behind the consumer space. Of course, that always happens. We've seen the idea of consumerization of the enterprise software now, and you know, the idea that anything that you do on the consumer side that you experience digitally should happen when you're in the office. And we're starting to seeing a trend of instead of getting a reward, whether it's your anniversary or birthday, instead of, you know, even on onboarding where you get this swag or you get a product, the idea now is experiences. And so, Kevin, tell me a little bit. I know the way you found it. I want you to start off with how you founded Blueboard, and then I'd love to have you talk about the experience and what you're seeing as a founder of Blueboard and this idea of experiences and rewards for employees. But tell me first how you came about the idea of doing this company called Blueboard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so me and a childhood friend of mine started Blueboard, and we had really similar experiences in our first jobs in the corporate world, right? We were kind of these starry-eyed, really ambitious kind of young kids coming in. And, you know, for me, in my story, I started off as a accountant, a professional bean counter, if you will, at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And so,
by the way, just to pause you there, we have something in common, because I also was an accountant when I first came on the scene, and I got fired because I was so bad at it. So kudos to you. I was an official bean counter at least for a year of my life.
That's the biggest favor probably for your career.
Maybe
good to get out of the game early. And so yeah, you know, I was an auditor, right? And auditing they go through a lot of year-end closing of the books, right? And they're it's a very time-sensitive project. You need to finish within a certain time because these companies have to file their annual reports. And so I was placed on a project, and in the beginning of it, had a couple team members quit at my level, right? And I'm kind of the low level. I'm the one getting all the work done. And they weren't able to replace them. And so what happened was, you know, I kind of was like, hey, like, I'm going to step up to it. I told my partner, I told my manager, I'm going to get the work done. And with that kind of, you know, I was a little naive at the time, but what that kind of consisted of for the next 2.5 months was about 90 to 100 hour weeks, wow. You know, working 6 to 7 days a week, you know, pretty much nonstop, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner all in the office. And, you know, I was grinding. I was, you know, I was getting the work done. I was doing incredibly well. But, you know, in that 90 to 100 hour weeks over 2.5 months, my personal life and health were kind of falling apart, right? And so, you know, at the end of the project, I had gained almost 25 pounds. 0% of that was muscle. and my girlfriend at the time was, you know, pretty much on the verge of breaking up with me, right? I was not spending any time with her. And when I was with her, you know, I really wasn't present. I was bitter. I was grumpy, right? And so, you know, we often kind of have this, you know, notion of like, our lives, it's a balance, right? Between work and kind of personal life. And, you know, when work kind of pushes, we often sacrifice our personal life. And so that kind of happened to me at the extreme. And so at the end of it,
right.
Obviously getting the work done, I was, you know, the top performer, you know, if you will. And my manager came up to me and said, hey, Kevin, you know, the partner and I, you know, it's incredible how much work you were able to get done. We would not have been able to do this project without you. And she kind of like said, thank you. And, you know, put a Amex gift card on my desk and slid it over to me. And so I was like, I just kind of like looked at it a little bit and was like, thanks. And it took a while to process, but it was a little bit of the straw that broke the camel's back after being just kind of burnt out. But I actually was pissed. Right. You know, I took on.
So why were you pissed? So here,
yeah.
You worked all these hours, you're sacrificing yourself and what seemed to be, you know, a nice gesture. Hey, let's give you an Amex gift card for your troubles. It had the reverse effect on you, which, I mean, I would imagine the intent was I want to give something to Kevin because he gave so much to us. What was it about the gift card, that experience that you didn't like?
It just felt super transactional. Right. Like it was, you know, a couple hundred dollars. And, you know, my mind was like, you know, once things become transactional, you compare them transactionally. Right. And so my mind was immediately like, well, I actually just took on two people's work. Right. And that was, you know, for 2.5 months, you know, it's probably like around 30 grand, right. Kind of like in cost savings. So a couple hundred dollar gift card compared to the value I actually provided was like a complete, you know, it was a complete mismatch, right? It was not commensurate with my kind of contributions at all, right? And, you know, that's where my head was initially, right? Is like, well, if it's going to be transactional, then I should be rewarded transactionally with a bigger reward, a bigger bonus. And then what I started to kind of realize, and like once kind of reactive kind of anger went down, I was, you know, I actually stepped back and I said, hey, like, you know, my manager and my team actually have good intentions, kind of like you were alluding to, right? They wanted me to feel appreciated. They wanted me to feel valued, but it completely missed the mark, right? It had the opposite effect, right? And so how we kind of started thinking about what Blueboard is today is like, imagine if my manager had come up to me and said, hey, Kevin, you know, I know you've been really frustrated with your health, right? I've been in the trenches with you, and I know you're unhealthy, right? And I know you love boxing. I actually got you a boxing membership to the gym around the corner, right? Go enjoy that, right? Or, hey, I know you and your girlfriend haven't spent much quality time together. You know, why don't you take her out to a nice dinner date? You know, maybe a cheese and wine pairing class on us, right? Now, that would have been, you know, both of those options would have been a couple hundred dollars. But they wouldn't have been transactional at all. They would have been really personal, right? They would have been thoughtful, right? And so where my head went at was like, hey, if I had gotten recognized in that way for the same exact cost to PwC, my reaction would have been completely different, right? I would have felt appreciated. I would have felt valued. I would have really respected my manager for taking the time to be thoughtful, right? And so it was kind of just this aha moment of like, hey, companies are, you know, I kind of assume positive intent, right, with anybody. And companies are really well-intentioned, right? But they don't have the means, they don't have the resources, they don't have the headspace to be thoughtful when it comes to recognition, right? And so that was when we were like, hey, I didn't like being a professional bean counter anyway, so it was easy to quit that job, right? But, you know, we kind of transitioned from this professional experience to like, well, let's try and solve this problem, right? How do we give companies a way, a system, a platform to be thoughtful at scale, right? To be personal at scale, right? And so what Blueboard is today is we help companies reward and recognize their employees with meaningful experiences, right? And so whether that is that cheese and wine pairing class with your significant other, whether that's, you know, taking time for yourself to get back in shape at the boxing gym, or maybe to go on a bucket list, you know, travel experience, you know, to go hike Machu Picchu, right? We're all about helping companies create memories and moments for their people for great work.
So isn't it easier? I appreciate you going through that, but isn't it easier for me and why it's been so pervasive for gift cards or whatever the gifts are, swag? Isn't it, it's just easier, right? Like I'm a manager. I don't necessarily have to know that you're not hanging out with your girlfriend or your health is diminished, or it's just like here, it's, you know, like you said, transactional. It's so much easier because now you're introducing this idea of experiences. And now I have to really understand, like, I can't just gift an experience. And I know, and we'll talk a little bit on your platform where maybe you can do more of a gift and then they can pick their own experience. But I obviously the essential, or at least the spirit of what you're building Blueboard is that managers actually get to know their employees a little bit better. So how are you, when you're going into a company and that, you know, whether it's a Suzy or a larger company and you're introducing Blueboard, what has been the reaction of people? Are they, yes, this sounds like a great idea? Has it been like, hey, you know what, it's so much easier to do a gift card, no thank you?
No, I think you bring up a really great point, right? And so what we've actually found that best in class managers are already doing this, right? Because they know their team, they know their employees, right? You know, we found that around 1.5% of managers do something similar to this, right? And it's super impactful, right, to the employee, right? And so what we're trying to do is kind of scale that out to the rest of the organization. That being said, right, let's say you're working, you are managing a remote distributed team, right? You may not know them personally, right? But we still want to give a company and a manager the avenue to give an experience, right? And so, you know, we hear a lot of things of like, hey, like you have this menu of, we kind of offer a menu where people can choose, right? And ultimately, right, managers can recommend something, or they can just say, hey, like, you know, I want to give you some quality time, you know, to do something that you love or that you've always wanted to try, right? And even something as simple as that, as the message, goes a long way.
It's amazing to me. Like, I want to go back. So you said 1.5 of the managers are already doing that. Like 1.5%. It's a small amount.
Totally.
And have you been able to, now that you're, because I imagine, and listen, I've dealt with this in my career, like, you know, managers come to me and say, what can we do? And, you know, typically it's been like, all right, let's do a gift card or let's do something else, like, because it's a lot easier. But now we're getting into more personalized type of like, what do they like? Are they a Yankees fan, or is it, you know, do they like wine or whatever it is? Why do you feel like you've made a move to allow the managers to do this more often? Because 1.5% is a low, that's a low percentage of people that are already thinking like this. Or are you seeing barriers to, you know, to entry because managers aren't thinking of these things?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, right? And, you know, I think part of what we've, like, we have customers, you know, for example, GoPro, right? Every single manager at GoPro is able to send a Blueboard experience to an employee for great work, right? And, you know, one of the feedback that we've gotten, we have a lot of other companies kind of set up similarly, is that recognition is it's a managerial habit, right? And, you know, some people are more kind of personally like disposed to give recognition and give thanks, right? But what we've heard is that like, hey, like this kind of idea of recognition being a habit needs to be top of mind, right? And so when people are giving, you know, swag, gift cards, we frankly heard like, hey, like it's lame, right? It doesn't get me excited to actually give, right? And so what ends up happening is because they're not excited about it, it's not top of mind, that recognition moment isn't happening, right? And so we actually see what's interesting in our data is that like when we roll out company-wide programs, there's an increase in the frequency of actually giving recognition because it's top of mind.
So let me head. So you're hearing, and it's swag is a $1 billion industry, right? Like you go into every company, it's like, it's swag people throw up. And in fact, we met with an investor years ago and basically their propensity to invest in the company depended on how much swag, and in the inverse way. So if they gave less swag, they were more inclined to invest in that company. but swag is all over the place. But yet, you know, it's a $1 billion business and yet lame. Like you're saying that the experience or what people want, they don't want swag. Is that what you're saying? Is that what your data is showing?
Absolutely. And you know, it's actually much more than $1 billion, right? In 2016, the U.S. spend on non-cash employee rewards was $50 billion.
Wow.
$50 billion, right? And a majority of that is going to gift cards and swag, right? $50 billion, right? And what's interesting is that you know, Burson, the consultancy Burson by Deloitte, actually found that 87% of recognition programs have zero impact on organizational performance. So engagement, productivity, retention, right? And our belief is that it's because no one cares about these things. Like you get a plaque, it kind of sits on your desk, collects dust. You know, we were talking to Salesforce and they do these kind of tchotchke like wave, tchotchke wave swag, kind of like this plaque that looks like a wave, and they actually have people just leave it kind of like at the kitchen, and they're at their new office, there's literally like over 100 that are just kind of sitting and have like kind of accumulated in one of the kitchens. It's so crazy, right?
Insane. Like this is what we're calling bullshit on, right? Like this is like totally. Again, here we are, and it fascinates me every time I have conversations with folks because we're on this show. We're going, here's a status quo practice, and we're going to call bullshit on it. And here's the new idea. In this case, that's the structure of the show. In this case, we're saying a $50 billion industry where, you know, Burson, who I'm very familiar with, is saying that 87% of the recognition programs have zero impact on productivity. And yet here we are doing it still. Like tomorrow or Monday, there's swag that's going to be handed out. So how are you guys, like when you're, to me, it sounds like an easy sell, right? Like, and of course I'm setting you up on this, but yeah. I know it's not an easy sell. So what, like, why would someone, you come to me and say, $50 billion, you're spending a lot of money, there's no productivity increase, here's the proof, come to Blue Board, join us. What are the objections? What are people saying that are like, you know what, no, I don't, I want to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, one is just that, right? It's inertia. You know, when I think of kind of the HR teams we talk to, right? They're very project driven teams, right? Hey, like we're going to be implementing a Workday for the next several months. We're implementing a new ATS. We're doing an employer branding, you know, project that's going to be taking up a lot of bandwidth, right? And so what we see a lot is like, hey, they don't see recognition being very important, right? And so a lot of times people, I haven't actually talked to one person where they were like, you know what, Blue Board's, it's a bad idea. doesn't make any sense, right? It's everyone pretty much understands the value of an experience, right? We kind of say experiences are universal, preferences are different. But it's the inertia, right? You know, we get deprioritized and we, you know, they might be interested, but they might come back in a year, right? And so it's kind of the inertia of the team to actually make this a priority. And the second thing, actually, more of an actual objection, is like, you know what? I like the idea. Let me ask my people what they want, right? And this is kind of the paradox of asking whether it's your customer what they want or an employee, right? I kind of think of people teams in HR, their customer is the employee, right? And so if I were to kind of lay out some options, right? Call it $1,000 of kind of equivalent value of, would you want $1,000 of cash, $1,000 of a gift card, $1,000 to you know, go to an electronic, or $1,000 in an experience? What would you say? What would you say you wanted?
Me, I would probably err with everyone else and say cash.
Exactly, right? And because cash is the most fungible, right? It's kind of the lowest common denominator. Oh, I could use cash to buy a new TV. I could use the cash to purchase an experience, right? But that never happens, right? It goes into our bank account. It gets lumped up into our payroll, right? And we don't see it, right? And so, you know, what we kind of say is that, like, cash is quiet, and also cash has a really kind of diminishing marginal utility, right? And so one of the things we do is we also power employee referral programs, right? And in tech companies, kind of given the war for talent, right, you can find, you know, a position for like a engineering manager or a director of engineering. You know, the referral bonus on that could be $5,000, $10,000, even $20,000, right? And depending how much they need it, they'll be like, you know, we have a director of engineering, you know, the reward has been 10 grand, right? We're going to bump that to 20 grand.
Sure.
Zero impact, right? Because cash is, you know, people already get paid, you know, a lot of money and stuff. And so kind of what we go is like, how do you create excitement around the program? How do you create marketability? How do you make it visceral, right? You want to kind of get some emotions out of people, right? And so how we kind of come in and market is like, hey, if you refer this director of engineering, right, you're going to be able to go on a bucket list trip. We're sending somebody to Everest Base Camp next week for a referral, right?
Cool.
And so that, when you see like a go to Everest Base Camp, maybe like, you know, or an equivalent experience, that's going to get people thinking, right? That's going to be like, oh, like, I want to go there. Who do I know that could fit this role, right? It's a way to kind of differentiate and stand out, right? And so that was kind of a long-winded answer, but, you know, there's the paradox with asking your employees what they want is that you're actually not going to get the organizational result you're looking for with cash.
Well, it's interesting because when you and I spoke, which spawned the idea for this podcast, so I went on to Suzy and we went out to the consumer market, which I tend to do from an HR perspective, and we're able to target demographics. So we're able to say, okay, give me full-time, part-time employees and let's ask them a question. And I did. I asked them if you were, you know, gift card or experience, and there was a majority of folks that said gift card. So it's interesting that you say that because and it could be what you're talking about. Again, like, our whole theory is, you know, we're going to ask questions and they're going to guide us. But it's also what people are familiar with, right? Like, it's also what they think about and what they're familiar with. And so, you know, when you introduce a blue board, I guess, you know, my question, and this is more of a fun question than more of a strategy question, is like, what are some of the top experiences that people are giving away? Like, what are some of the cool things that you see on blue board? Because I would imagine in your system you can say, oh, these are the top 10 experiences that people are choosing or rewarding. What do those look? What are some of those experiences look like?
Could I first kind of give a comment to the survey, because we've actually run that survey and so we've run, you know, A/B tests on this, and so when we said, gift card versus experience. Gift card was, you know, overwhelmingly kind of the choice, you know, something that was like 90 to 10% or something like that. But then we actually expanded the survey because we're like, you know what, like, what do people think an experience is? And so what we did was we got more specific with it. And so we did, hey, would you want a gift card to your favorite retailer or store, right? Would you want to have two tickets to watch your favorite sports team play? Would you want to, you have two tickets to see your favorite band perform, right? Would you want a couples massage with your significant other, right? Would you want to go skydiving, right? And so we actually expanded and like made it very specific on certain types of experiences. And what we found is once we did that, is that collectively, you know, it was almost a flip, is that people chose, you know, a particular experience. I think it was like 85 to 15% an experience over a gift card. Right. And so our thought and our learning around that is that the idea of an experience is understood, but it's too vague to visualize in terms of making a decision, right? And so you need to kind of paint a picture of what type of experience, right?
Got it.
For the user.
And put that up against the gift card. And then when exactly. Once you did that, then they scored more around the experience than anything else. It's funny because when we ran it, I was like, you know, my belief and you know, we're taught to assume nothing here at Suzy because we have the ability to go out and ask people, was that because of the movement, the millennials, what we see on the consumer side, that was something effectively happening on the enterprise side or the workforce side. So it was interesting to see that data back. But now that you've sort of expanded out, it's interesting. We'll probably go back. And maybe what you and I could do is offline, let's resend a similar survey and see what it says, because I'm interested to see what consumers are thinking. But talk about some of those top level, you know, the most gifted experiences that you're seeing on Blueboard.
Yeah, no. And so choice is super interesting because we have, you know, we have companies in all different industries, right? We work, you know, our two biggest kind of customer industries are tech and biotech and pharmaceutical. But we also have companies like Chick-fil-A, Otis Elevators, right, using us. And so what we kind of see is that the company and the culture really dictate the popularity and an experience, right? And so for a lot of tech companies, what's interesting, you know, one of our first kind of learnings was we had a company, our first customer, Bungle, went from 30 to 300 in 18 months, right? And when they got their experience, around like 80% were around what we call our category of relax and indulge, right? And so they were just so overworked and burnt out that they wanted a couple of massages, they wanted a personal massage, they wanted a pampering just to kind of relax, right? Kind of get some time to themselves. You know, another company, Eventbrite, very much kind of, you know, young demographic. Everyone was on an adventure, day trips.
Huh.
Right. And so they were going, we were setting up trips to Big Sur, to Yosemite, hiking up in Lake Tahoe. And it was crazy to kind of see that. And so we actually see that the culture and the demographics of the company dictate kind of preferences of the employees. But yeah, I think, you know, for us, you know, some of the big ones, you know, we do a lot of music experiences. And so, you know, sending people to things like So Far Sounds, to kind of their favorite, to watch kind of favorite band play. We set up a lot of experiences like that. And then we also do a lot of sporting events. And so, we do a lot of that. Those are kind of the preferences. But really, really, you know, it goes all over. You know, recently we just hit a big milestone of ours. We just hit 20,000 people have gone on a Blueboard experience, which is pretty cool.
Wow. Very cool. And so so you're getting all this data coming in terms of experiences. And I know you talked a little bit about culture and company situation. Any other, because I would imagine part of the interesting thing that you're looking at is not only when where people are either rewarding folks or what experiences they're choosing. Any other like pieces of data that you've been able to pull out of your company, your platform, where you were like, like maybe it, you know, it kind of questioned some of the thoughts that you had around people behavior, or just any piece of information that where you were like, oh, that's really an interesting data that I didn't know yesterday.
Yeah. I could talk about this. This was an early learning. And so actually, you know, originally we were structured as a points-based program, right? And so these are pretty kind of common, you know, in today's day and age, right? And so people were able to reward and recognize each other, give points, and then you could use that those points to quote unquote purchase an experience, right, on Bluebore, right? So we rolled this out, and we wanted to do just a little like user research on how they felt, right, when they were redeeming for an experience. And what we found was actually super interesting is that they actually, the mindset of the employees using points, they felt they were spending their own money, right? Because they had earned it, right? They felt they were spending their own money. And many of them weren't thinking about what actually got them the points, right? What type of behaviors and values kind of did they exhibit, right, to get recognized, right? They were really treating it like cash. Like, hey, like I'm using my point balance. I'm going to use it and I'm going to buy something, right? And what we kind of thought was like, wow, that's like actually, that is not good for a recognition program, for a culture, right? You want, you know, when I think of best in class programs and when I think the purpose of recognition, one of the purposes of recognition is, hey, you want to have a direct connection between the effort and the achievement and the recognition and reward, right? And so when they get recognized and when they go on this experience, right, you want them to associate like, hey, I was able to do this really because, you know, I worked my butt off on this new product rollout, right?
Right.
Or hey, like I really helped on bring this, you know, this awesome engineer. None of that was happening with points, right? And so what we did was we completely threw out that product. And so every time somebody gets recognized in Bluebore, there's an associated experience, right? You don't build up, you don't accumulate to an experience. Every time somebody gets recognized, you're able to have access a menu and you're able to choose something, right? Because we really care about making sure that there's a clear tie and a clear connection between what they did and what they're going to do. You know, effort, achievement,
that's
and then recognition reward. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would accumulate all these points, and then, you know, I would imagine that they were hesitating even cashing them in, because if they saw them as real dollars or things of that nature. So there was a misconnection there. And so instead of that, you removed the point system and said, okay, you can just reward the actual experience versus the points to get to the experience.
Yeah.
There was no goodwill.
There was no goodwill thought of to the company, right? Of like providing this opportunity to do an experience because they were thinking of it as their own money, which I thought was actually pretty fascinating.
So you had your 20,000th experience recently. What's on the agenda? So you go in as a platform, you're giving managers the ability to reward experiences, kind of counter to what you experienced at PwC. What's on the agenda for the next 6 to 12 months? Where do you see the platform going? What are you working on?
Yeah, no. So our focus in the beginning was to create like a broad-based platform, right, and see how our customers use it, right? And so we get used for anniversary rewards, sales incentives, spot recognition, employee referrals, right? And so, you know, our vision is like, okay, well, how do we make it really easy for our customers to run these programs, right? So, you know, we're beginning to productize these use cases. And so we're actually coming out with a tenure engine to help automate and manage kind of that scale anniversary rewards, and that's coming out, you know, this month or, you know, in September. Another thing we're actually doing is we're actually taking a completely different approach to President's Club, right? And so you think of President's Club as this, hey, top salespeople, they get to go to Hawaii for a week, you know, they're hanging out, there's some experiences there, right? They're staying at a nice hotel. And, you know, what we've heard, that the problem with President's Club, as it is structured today, is that one, you know, it's kind of a set time, where everyone has to go. And the second is, like, a lot of people don't actually necessarily want to, they want to go because of the status and the prestige, but they actually kind of see that more valuable than, the destination and the experience itself of going to Hawaii, because they've been to Hawaii, you know, X amount of times. And they also, interestingly enough, you know, they're spending more time with their coworkers who they already spend a lot of time with. Right. And so it's kind of like this forced group outing is what we've heard. Right. And so we've actually had a number of customers come to us and be like, hey, like, we actually want to make President's Club is not going to lose its status. Right. If you're in President's Club, that means a lot. You know, you are a high performer on the sales side, but they want to make it more personal to that salesperson. It's like, hey, you know, there could be a young millennial, right, who wants to, you know, cross off, you know, to the Great Wall or go into Machu Picchu, right?
Right.
From their bucket list with his Friends Club. But then we also might have, you know, somebody with a family, right, who wants to kind of just unplug, you know, and go to Santa Barbara, you know, for a week, right? Completely different preferences. And so, you
sure.
know, our customers are saying, like, hey, we want to make President's Club personal to the people, right? And so there's actually value and a lot of goodwill being created with the actual experience they're going on, not just the status that it kind of conveys. And so
we're doing a President's Club service. I love that idea. I think it's, you know, I love the whole concept because I've felt like part of the movement in HR needs to be a more customized experience for the employees. So typically and traditionally in HR, we said, okay, you all get the same benefits and you all get the same recognition because we were afraid of doing things a little bit differently. But I think what the movement and what we've seen on the consumer side specifically is this idea of personal experiences for your customers, whether that's reaching out to customer service or having, you know, in retail experience, and everyone's moving towards that. And I feel like that is the wave of the future in human resources, giving everyone, like you said, the person that doesn't have kids may want to do something different than the person that does have kids. And so making those very personalized, I think that's a really smart move. And I love the idea of automating the anniversary. So integrating, I would imagine, with HR systems. And then it's sort of like, hey, you're here for a year. Let's reward you, or 3 years or 5 years, whatever that is. I think those are really smart, smart ideas to go into the future. So any last thoughts, Kevin, before we end the podcast, on where you see this whole space going, any sort of advice for someone that maybe has listened and said, you know what, I want to bring this into my organization. How do they start, you know, the process? And of course, how do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I think, you know, one thing that I kind of would love to end on is, you know, when we think of just, you know, recognition, right? It's really about saying thank you. And when you attach, you know, thank you is really, a thank you is really kind of rooted in a relationship, right? It's very relationship based, right? And whenever you add something transactional to something that's very relationship based, right? Cash, gift cards, it really diminishes the impact of the interaction, right? And so, you know, I'd say when you're thinking about revamping or implementing a new recognition program, how do you keep it relationship based, right? That's how I would kind of question and kind of use that as kind of like a North Star of, like, does this feel like a relationship, right? Does this feel like a relationship, right? You want to be, recognition should be building and, you know, strengthening the relationship between a manager and employee, between an organization and an employee, right? And so, yeah, I think that'd be kind of like a good question to kind of have in the back of your mind when you're thinking of it. And then in terms of getting in touch with Blueboard, you know, you can visit our site, blueboard.com, and then, you know, email me personally, kevin@blueboard.com. Yeah.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to call Bullshit on Recognition and Rewards. I love what you're doing at Blueboard. I think it's a really powerful movement. And please reach out to Kevin and his company and see what they're all about. And really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're West Coast, so it's probably, you know, you're late morning. And so thanks for taking the time. I'm sure you're super busy.
Anthony, hey, thank you for having me, and I appreciate the time as well.
Of course. Good luck, Kevin. Great having you. All right, everyone, we're on summer break until September. Our next show is going to be really exciting, and to look for our next podcast. This one should be available very soon. Thanks again, everyone.